amen. VBS is July 18th, and so 2 months from today, can you believe it? Man, 2 months and Vacation Bible School will be here, and another summer will be almost over as well. What a blessing that is. So go ahead and sign up. Make sure you get in your spot. Somebody else doesn't take your spot. So go ahead, sign up, and make sure you're there in your place where you normally are every year. And we thank you for that. Also, we had a great response. Last night, we had a few folks go out and hand out some of the cards for the First Responders Sunday coming up in September. And we had a good response to the places that we had gone in the Dover area. And so please, if you can help with that, I know that'll be a blessing to those folks as we honor them and thank them, but also get the gospel to them and that they might trust Christ as well. And so if you can help us out with that this Saturday, that would be a tremendous blessing. If you would turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. We're going to be in a couple of different places here, close to here as well. But Genesis pretty much the whole evening, this evening. And we're going to get right into the message this evening. Genesis chapter 39. Glad you're here. I know Pastor is happy to know that you're in your place and he's praying for you. And no doubt they're in church this evening as well. If I know him, I know he's in church, and what a blessing to know that we have a pastor that goes to church even when he's on vacation. Genesis chapter 39, and verse 21 is going to be our text verse, and we'll come back to it again at the end. But it says in verse 21 of Genesis chapter 39, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." I'm going to go ahead and pray for the message this evening, and I'm going to bring a message that I entitled, "Finding Peace in Difficult Times." Finding peace in difficult times. Let's pray. Dearly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to gather in your house. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for Christ and what he's done on the cross for our sins, and Lord, how we can have victory, not just over that sin, but Lord, that you can give us the victory each and every day over that sin on a daily basis, Lord, that we didn't have before we had trusted you. And Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would give us what we need this evening. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the wisdom that I need. I pray that you give me the clarity of speech. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every heart that's here. I pray that you would open my heart as well as the folks in this room, Lord, that we would have softened hearts to your word and that it would penetrate the soil, and Lord, that it would grow something good. And Father, I pray that it would just be pleasing and honoring to you, everything that's said and done tonight. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Life. It's been said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. It's unpredictable. There are good times, there are mediocre times, and there are bad times. There are times of laughter, and there are times of sadness. The good things of life, the Bible tells us, come from God. James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." The bad often come from sin, either our sin or someone else's sin. But we know there is an exception, like in Job's case, where bad times don't come necessarily because of sin, but because of other occasions and other reasons, as the devil went to God and asked to do something to Job because he felt like Job would curse God and die, and curse him to his face and then all those things if he wasn't blessed by the Lord. Obviously, we know the story, and Job stood up to the test. God had faith in him and knew that he would have the faith in the Lord. And so, not every time, but many times in our life, bad things happen because of our sin or because of somebody else's sin, because this world is filled with sin. You see, what happens to you is not always in your control, but what happens in you is your choice. It's possible to have peace in your life during the good times and the bad. Oftentimes, during the good times, it's easy to have peace. It's easy to trust the Lord. It's easy to come to a place in our life where we feel like everything's going well because we're being blessed or because things are going our way. But what about the bad times? What about the times where we don't have control of what's going on? We don't have control of what's happening, and there may be turmoil. There may be things going against us. Do we still have peace? Do we still have joy? Do we still rest in the Lord. Well, tonight I want us to look at three aspects of the life of Joseph that every Christian is going to encounter. The first aspect is Joseph's prosperity. And I'm going to explain that here in a second. Joseph's prosperity. Look at it with me in Genesis chapter 37. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." Joseph starts out with being loved by his father more than his other brethren. And so we see here that I'm not speaking of prosperity in that he's wealthy, although Jacob obviously had some wealth. He had some financial means, and we're going to talk about that in a second when we talk about the coat. But he obviously had some wealth to his name. But I'm talking about not necessarily wealthy, but prosperity, meaning that he was doing well, that he was succeeding, that he was prosperous. The Bible says many times that Joseph prospered, that he was prosperous, that the Lord allowed him to be prosperous. And so he started out by being more loved than his other siblings. Joseph was so loved by his father that he was given a coat of many colors. This coat of many colors was sometimes known also as a coat of pieces. And an ordinary tunic of this time was a garment worn next to the skin, reaching to the knees, and usually, not always, but usually without sleeves. Joseph's coat is supposedly to have had sleeves and to have reached to his wrists and to his ankles. It was a luxurious robe and a mark of distinction, such as in later times where Tamar and the other daughters of the king, they wore. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 18, it says, "And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her." And that's talking about Tamar. In the next verse, it speaks of her name. The same Greek words are used when the Bible says coat of many colors in Joseph's case and the garment of diverse colors in Tamar's case. And so it's talking about the same garment. It's talking about the same type of tunic that he would have been wearing with the many colors. And so we're talking about something that was normally worn by people with money, people who had financial stability and financial wealth and who were kingly and in those types of honorable places. The pieces may have been different pieces of cloth, variously colored and sewn together, or it could have been variously colored threads, stripes, or plaits. And so we're talking about something that took some work. We're talking about something that wasn't just thrown together in a night, wasn't just thrown together the night before, wasn't just thrown together in a day, but took some time, took some thought, took some attention to. And so this coat shows the love and attention that Joseph had from his father. He was loved from his father. He had given this coat to his son, and he wanted to have all the good things for his son that he could give him. So even in this prosperous time in Joseph's life, the Bible does not indicate that he became proud. The Bible tells us that Joseph's brothers envied him in verse 11. God shows his people warts and all. And so if Joseph had gotten proud over this occasion, if Joseph had had a prideful heart and he had gone into that type of sin, I believe God would have told us. Because he usually shows his people with warts and all. We see David, he's shown warts and all with Bathsheba and the death of his son, eventually because of that sin. We see Paul, who has warts and all. He went and he persecuted Christians, obviously, before he was saved, but still, he has warts. He has flaws. He had things that he had done that were wrong. Joseph, don't get me wrong, he was not perfect. He was not perfect in the sense of sinless. He had sin. He needed a Savior just like everybody else. But God has a special message in here about the man Joseph, and we can liken him to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was a man who I don't believe had gotten proudful about this, because I believe God would have shown us in his word that he was proudful and what happened because of that. You see, if Joseph had a proud heart, I believe God would have told us. Genesis chapter 39, look at it with me, in verse 1. Genesis chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and made him overseer over the house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and all over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Not for the Egyptian's sake, but for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now we see that Joseph is in Potiphar's house, and that all that he did prospered. As I said before, the word prosper, it means to advance. It means to make progress. It means to succeed. It means to be profitable. So we're not speaking of just a financial status here. We're talking about everything that he did, everything that he was in charge of, everything that God had allowed him to be in charge of prospered. It advanced. It was successful. And so everything that he did in his work as a servant under Potiphar succeeded. It advanced. It made progress. It was good for the house. It was good for everybody. It was good for the people. This is not to say he was wealthy, although it may have come to be a part, to be a perk of being prosperous. Potiphar, though, was a wealthy man. He had a big palace, a lot of money, and probably many servants that he knew for a longer period of time than he knew Joseph. And yet Joseph stood out among them all. And God made him to prosper. There's a reason, and we're going to get to it at the end. There's a reason why God allowed Joseph to prosper, to succeed, to be advanced in all that he had done. There's a reason that Joseph stood out among all the servants that Potiphar had, among all the ones who had been there for maybe 40 years or more. You know, you always hear of people, they've been there for 40 years, and they finally, you know, they moved up. They're in a position of status. There is a manager of the Braves baseball team, he got released this past week. And they promoted a man who was in the farm system. He's been a part of the Braves organization for 40 years. And he got promoted now to be the interim manager. And so you think of people who've been there for a long period of time being in these positions. People who have paid their dues. People who have gone through the grind of it all. And they are put in these positions. But you see, Joseph wasn't here, no doubt, more than some others that had been there. He had recently been sold. He had recently been bought. And it doesn't give an exact time, but he had recently come to be part of Potiphar's servants. And so he was above all because of something that he did, because of something that he had. And we're going to get to that later. You see, now that Joseph was out of the pit and sold as a slave and bought as a servant, and made prosperous, the Bible doesn't say that Joseph boasted or became prideful of his position. It'd be easy for Joseph now to say, you know what, I'm rid of my brothers, they didn't like me anyway, I'm away from them, they can't hurt me here. Man, look at me, everything I do is prosperous. Everything I do, as they say, turns to gold. Everything that he touches, everything that he does, prospers and succeeds. And he could have had an opportunity here to say, you know what, look at me, look at what I'm doing. Look at what is happening because of my hand. Look at what is happening because of all the things that I can do, because of my talents, because of my wisdom, because of all the things that I have. But he doesn't get prideful. He doesn't get proud of it. He doesn't take his eyes off of the Lord and put them on himself, but he gives glory where glory is due. God would have shown us, no doubt, if Joseph had gotten prideful. Genesis chapter 41, look at it with me, verse 37 and 50. It says, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house according unto thy word, shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him a ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went on over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which is round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him." Now we come to the palace of Pharaoh. Joseph has just interpreted his dream. Pharaoh is looking for one who has the Spirit of God upon his life. Again, Joseph stands out. He was looking for a man that could do the things that Joseph could do. He was looking for a man that could do all the things and had all the wisdom that Joseph had. Joseph has become the second in command below Pharaoh. And again, if Joseph had become prideful, I believe God would have shown the destruction that pride brings. Because it doesn't show us that Joseph became prideful, there is only one other explanation. He recognized that his prosperity came from God, his success, his advancement, and he gave God the glory. You see, either we will claim the glory for ourselves, we will either boast about what we have done, we will either say, look at what I have said, look at what the wisdom I have, look at all the things that have prospered at my hand, or we will give God the glory for what he has done. Give him the rightful honor. Give him the rightful recognition. And I believe that Joseph did. Joseph didn't claim it for himself. He recognized the grace of God in his life. There are many times when we are on the mountaintop like Joseph was in these times. There are many times when we are going down the road of life and things are going great. And God is allowing us to prosper. He's allowing us to succeed. He's allowing us to make progress in our Christian life. In these times, we need to remember it's all because of the grace of God. It's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's not because of our wisdom. It's not because of our stature. It's not because of our might. It's not because of our strength or our wisdom or our guidance or our ability to do certain tasks or have certain talents. But it's because God has allowed us to prosper. God has allowed us to succeed. And there's one reason that he would allow us to succeed, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. First, we saw Joseph's prosperity. But secondly, I want us to see what I call Joseph's poverty. looked at with me in chapter 39, Joseph's poverty, chapter 39 and verse 7. And we'll read to verse 20. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, Lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and fled, and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house, and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, and he left his garment with me, he fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that is, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. You see, Joseph's life wasn't filled with nothing but great times. He had his share of difficulties. He had his share of distractions. Many years of Joseph's life was spent in what I call his poverty. Not saying it for financial reasons, but it's poverty in that there were many times, like when his brothers wanted to kill him, or being thrown into the pit, or being sold as a slave, or being caught by Potiphar, or being thrown into the jail, or being forgotten about by the butler, where he could have given up all hope and said, My life is over. I have nothing else to live for. He had many moments where he could have given up on God and said, God, why are you doing this to me? There was many opportunities for him to say, God, why did you allow my brothers to almost kill me? Why did you allow them to throw me into the pit? Lord, why are you doing this to me? Lord, I've tried to serve you. I've tried to do good. I've tried to stand up and go the upright way, the straight and narrow path. I tried to follow your commandments. I tried to obey my father and my mother. I tried to do all that you had told me to do. Why are they selling me now to these men that are traveling to Egypt? Why are they now selling me as a slave to these folks in Egypt, this Potiphar, who is he's a great man in the land of Egypt, and who knows what he's going to do to me? Why am I at this status of being nothing but a slave when I was feeding your flock back home? When daddy told me to go feed the flock, I was helping my brothers. When daddy told me to help my brothers, I was doing all these things for you. I was serving you. I was following you. Lord, why are you doing these things to me? He had all this opportunity when Potiphar's wife decided to try and seduce him into doing something that was immoral, that was against his God's commandments, and that was against his moral code. And so he could have said, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this harlot who probably tried to seduce men after men that had come before her before? She was pretty presumptuous. She was pretty advanceful. And so no doubt she probably had done this before, had gotten away with it, had talked to people and said, come lie with me. And they had given in. And here she meets somebody, a Hebrew, who says, you know what? I'm not going to lie with her. I'm not going to go go that way. I'm not going to lie with this harlot. I'm not going to go and do this thing against my God. I'm not going to. But God, why are you doing this to me? I tried to stay the narrow path. I tried to go the right way. I tried to do all the things that you had told me to do. Lord, why are they now putting me in prison? Why are they keeping me here with all these people who have actually done crimes, who have actually done things that were wrong, who have actually done things against your commandments, who have actually done things against the laws, and they're here for a reason. They're here because they deserve it. Lord, why are you letting me be here? Why are you putting me here? Or why are you allowing me to be here? He had all the right in the world to say, God, why are you doing this? But he didn't. He didn't ask the Lord why in a tone of, Lord, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be allowing this. Now, it doesn't say maybe he asked God, Lord, just explain it to me. That's not necessarily wrong, asking God to help you understand. But oftentimes, we get ourselves in these situations that are not fun, that are not good. And sometimes they're from our sin, sometimes they're from other people's sin, but there's also times where they just happen. You're doing right. You're going the right way. You're going down the straight and narrow path. You're doing all you can to follow the Lord, follow his word, and yet these poverty times, these hard times, these distressful times, these times that we just sometimes aren't sure why it's happening, what's going on, they happen in our lives. And we question God. And say, God, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be allowing this. Like we know better than God. There's a reason that God has us go through these times. There's a reason that God allows these times in our lives. You see, the Bible tells us that he was in prison for a time before the butler and baker were sent to the prison. And then he served them down there for a season of time. The Bible doesn't tell us how long necessarily that he served them before they were called up and the interpretation that he had came true. You see, then there was still about 2 years after the butler left, the Bible tells us, that he had been down there. Plus, he had previously been in Potiphar's house for some time. You see, the Christian life sometime is going to seem like times of poverty, times of heartache, times of stressfulness, times of distress. But you see, times when the days seem darker and dreary, there's going to be those times. There's going to be times where days where you will find out your car needs a new water pump and you're barely making ends meet as it is. There's going to be days where you find out you or someone you know has a sickness or a disease. There's going to be times where the bills seem to be piling up and the money seems to be going into a bottomless pit. There's going to be days where it feels like the world is against us. There's going to be days where your family gets into an argument. There's going to be days of poverty. There's going to be days in the valley. There's going to be days where it seems like no one knows or cares what is going on. And maybe even your spouse. There are going to be down days in the Christian life. Joseph had them. David had them when he ran for his life from King Saul and sinned with Bathsheba and had his son die. Peter had them when he denied the Lord 3 times and then saw Jesus look at him when he remembered what Jesus had said. The disciples had them when they knew Jesus was taken to jail, scourged, and crucified. Paul had them when he was stoned, mocked, shipwrecked, and put in prison. It doesn't matter really how much so-called poverty days you encounter. What matters is what you do when you encounter these difficult times. What matters is what happens in the heart. What matters is what happens when these difficult days come. The Bible tells us there's going to be difficult times. The best Christians in the Bible had difficult times. The best Christians who followed the Lord as closely as they could, people who were called a friend of God, who were called a man after God's own heart, had difficult times, had times of distress, had dark days. We are going to have dark days. We are going to have times where it seems like we're just not sure how it's going to make through, how we're going to get through the time, how we're going to get through and pay the bill, how we're going to do these things. There's going to be those times. First, we saw Joseph's prosperity. The good times. The times where everything seems to be going well. Secondly, we saw the Joseph's poverty. The dark days. The days where it seemed like he just wasn't sure what God was doing. He didn't know when it was going to end. For all Joseph knew, he was in the prison forever. As far as he knew, he wasn't getting out of there. As far as he knew, God wasn't going to do something and allow him to get out of there. And yet we see something in his life that allowed him to hang on, that he hung to, that allowed him to say, you know what, I'm going through these times, but God is faithful. I'm going through these times, but God has something else for me. And so thirdly, we see Joseph's peace. Joseph had peace, and he had rest in the Lord. Chapter 39, look at it with me, verse 21 and 23. You can see it throughout these chapters, but just to see it here in these few verses. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was there the doer of it." Verse 23, "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Difficulties often show what is inside our heart. Times of prosperity are easier to deal with physically, but often make it easier to forget the real peace and rest that is only found in the Lord. Because we feel like, you know what, I can do it. I can get through it. Everything's going well. I don't need the Lord anymore. I don't need to follow his commandments to the T anymore because things are going well. You see, having spoken with multiple pastors before, I've heard the same thing reoccur throughout the country, where in times of trouble, people come for counsel and advice, which pastors are glad to give. I don't want you to think they're not. And yet, the minute they are through the fire, they stop coming to church and they forget the one who gave them the peace and the rest in the first place. They forget him. They go away from him. They think everything's fine, everything's dandy, so I don't need God as much anymore. But with that being said, even those who come to church on a regular basis can fall into the same trap where they begin to trust themselves or trust in coming to church to sustain them, when those things won't sustain you. Only Christ can sustain you. Only God can sustain you, can give you rest, can give you the peace that passeth all understanding. Only God can do that. A pastor can't do that. A church member can't do that. Coming to church and doing works can't do that. Only Christ. You see, the Bible says all throughout the events of Joseph's life that the Lord was with Joseph and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. This tells me that Joseph knew his peace and rest were found in the Lord. He knew that the peace that he needed through those troubled times, the peace and the rest that he needed to find in the times when he was in the pit, when he was being chased after day from Potiphar's wife, when he was thrown into the prison and not knowing when he was going to get out, the rest and the peace that he had to find, he knew it came from the Lord. He knew that it came from the Lord because the Lord made him to prosper. If Joseph went away from the Lord and didn't find rest in the Lord, didn't find peace in the Lord, didn't follow the Lord while he was in those difficult times, then I don't believe God would have allowed the things to prosper in his hand like they did. When Joseph was on the mountaintop, he knew it was the Lord. And when Joseph was in the valley, he trusted in the Lord and his soul found rest in Christ. When you're on the mountaintop, you need the Lord. When you're in the valley, you need the Lord. When you are in the tough times, you need to rest in the Lord. Are you looking for some rest? Are you weary of carrying your own burden? Are you weary of trying to toil on your own? Are you weary of trying to get through this life through this hard time, maybe that you're going through your life, no matter what it may be, are you weary? Find rest in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. It takes faith in the Lord and allow Him to take care of it. Rest in the Lord. You can tell your friend all about your problems. You can tell your pastor all about your problems. Then go ahead. We want to help you. But we can't do what the Lord can. We can pray for you. We can give advice. But rest is found in the Lord. Peace is found in the Lord. And you can go unto the Lord yourself. You can go to Christ yourself. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you can come boldly unto the throne of grace to find help in time of need and grace. If you are struggling to find rest and peace, it's probably because you're trying to find it on your own and not in Christ. We may sing, "Christ is all I need," and know in our head that Christ will satisfy. Know in our mind that the Bible says that we can find rest in Christ. But do we have faith when it comes down to it in our life that we need rest? Do we have faith in the Lord to give us that rest and allow Him to give it to us? He doesn't want you to toil on your own. He doesn't want you to struggle. He doesn't want you to have these hard times without His rest. But you're going to have these hard times without His rest if you don't come to Him, if you don't trust Him. I'm sure most of you have heard of an oxymoron. It's a figure of speech that seems to contradict itself. And there are lists and lists of these. And some of them are like artificial grass, boneless ribs, big town, harmless lie, easy labor. You know, these things sound kind of crazy. But when you think of having peace, having the peace of God, do you have the same idea about that as you do an oxymoron? It seems crazy. It seems like something that's only in the Bible. It seems like only something we talk about at church. But do you really know that you can have the peace of God in your life? That you can have rest in the Lord? Or does it just sound like some crazy fanatical thing? The peace of God really exists. You can have peace through trials. You can have peace through hard times. You can have peace when you don't know where your next meal is coming from. You can have the peace of God. About 7 years ago this summer, I had witnessed the death of my grandfather to leukemia. It's crazy to think that it's going on 7 years already. And I had witnessed him trust Christ days before he passed. And so I know that he was saved. But when he went through the next week, after living 70 plus years, trying to find peace and rest on his own terms those years, I could tell it was hard for him to find rest in Christ in the difficult situation. I praise the Lord he finally found rest when he passed into eternity and came face to face with the Lord. An example of not being able to find rest in the Lord. About a year and a half ago, I also had, I don't want to say the opportunity because that's just a little weird, but I also was there when Esther's grandfather, Pop-Pop, passed away as well. He had gone through an accident and many difficulties, but standing there at the bedside in the hospital, watching as we sang songs like Amazing Grace, you could see, although the reality was bearing down that he was going to pass into eternity, you could see the peace and the rest that he had found in Christ. There's a difference when you're trusting yourself, trying to get through yourself, and when you say, "Christ, I need your help. I need your peace. I need your rest. It's too much for me. I'm leaning on you. I'm faithfully leaning on you to give me the grace that I need, to give me the rest that I need, to give me the peace that I need." Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 5. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 and verses 10 through 11, it says, for we which have believed, it's going to take faith, do enter into rest. As he hath said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished by the foundation of the world, for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Difficulties often show what is inside our hearts. When difficulties come, do you rest in the Lord? Do you find rest in the Lord? Do you find peace in the Lord, or do you try to struggle through yourself? Friend, there's no help, there's no hope in trying to struggle through yourself. You're going to get weary. You're going to get tired. Why struggle through yourself when God is offering peace? God is offering rest. But it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's found in faithfully coming to God and saying, Lord, I need your peace. I need your rest. Help me. To find rest and peace, look no further than Christ. Don't make Christ your last option. Make Christ your first option. Believe that he can give you that rest. You need to believe that he can do it. Do you believe that God can give you rest? Or do you believe it's just something that is talked about, something that is preached about, something that is mystical that you don't even know can really happen? You need to believe that God can give you that rest. And let him take care of the situation. And let him give you peace. And let him give you rest. And he will. But it takes faith. It takes belief. I believe Joseph showed belief in God to give him rest. We don't see that he tried to do it on his own. We don't see that he said, look at what I've done. We don't see that he has tried to get the peace and get the rest on his own. But he lets God in control. He lets God take care of the problems that are going on. He rests in the Lord. He casts all his care upon the Lord because he careth for you. And if God cares for you, he wants to give you rest. He wants to give you peace. He doesn't want you to struggle and toil and try to do it on your own. But he's not going to supersede your will. He's not going to go past your will and say, you don't want rest? Well, I'm going to give it to you. No. He's waiting for his children to come. He's waiting for his children to come before the throne of grace and say, Lord, I need help. I need rest. I need your peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we had to come to church. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for how you can help us, how you want to help us, how, Lord, you are offering peace. You are offering rest. Lord, I pray that we would take it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to come to the point before we try to do it on our own, before we try to toil through, Lord, that we would say, we need help. Give us that rest. that we would cast all of our care upon you. And Lord, we know that you, in faith, will give us that rest and that peace. That peace that passeth all understanding, that peace that we can have when a family member passes. That peace that we can have when the diagnosis is dire. Lord, that peace that you want us to have in the prosperity times, in the poverty times. Lord, help us to trust you. Father, thank you for what you're going to do. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a need that you'd like to come to the altar as we play the music and sing the next song, go ahead, come to the altar. Do what the Lord has laid on your heart this time.